So today's Gospel of the Transfiguration portrays a really profound religious experience by the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, on that mountaintop. And I'd like to share with you a profound experience that six of us parishioners had by visiting our sister parish in Northeast India recently. And I really want to thank you for sending us. Mary Fratto, who is here today, Steve Thomas, Dan Sullivan, Sharon Schrantz, Barb Koenig, and myself. It was really a wonderful, wonderful parish experience. And so the question can come up, you know, how and why did St. Francis Xavier Parish in Northeast India end up as our sister parish? And this relates to all the Jesuit partners who are here who are not members of our parish. I think you're a part of all this too, because it's part of our whole Jesuit province experience. As you know, the Jesuits are an international order, and we're all over the world, which is wonderful. If you're a Jesuit like Chris or RG or myself, you can go any place in the world, London, Rome, Prague, and there's a Jesuit house to stay. You can stay for free. There's a free hotel in every city in the country, which is one of the perks of being a member of an international religious order. But we no longer have foreign missions in the old sense of the word, because happily, all the countries in the world have had the gospel preached to them. So now, rather than having a mission, we have what's called a twinning relationship between one region and another. And usually that's between a first world region and a third world region. So the head of the Jesuits in Rome picks who to partner, and our Midwest Jesuit province was assigned to partner or twin with the Northeast Indian region. And to put flesh on that, our regional superiors, our provincial and regional superior of Northeast India, asked our two parishes, St. Francis Xavier and Umbir, and us here in St. Paul, to be sister parishes. And so we said yes to that invitation, and this is our second trip. Last year, Dan Sullivan and Steve Thomas went, and this year, the six I just mentioned went on a second trip. Just to say a few words about our parishioners over there, the Khasi people, and I want to try to convey to you I don't want this just to be a travelogue. I want it to be trying to express somewhat how we encountered Christ in the poor halfway around the world. The parishioners of our sister parish are members of the Khasi tribal people up in the hill country and in the northeastern state of Meghalaya. I want to ask you how many of you know where the state of Meghalaya is. Probably as many of you as they knew where Minnesota was. They had no idea where Minnesota was or what Minnesota was. So it was a trip in that way. But Meghalaya, this section in Northeast India, is separated from the main body of India and is bordered by Bangladesh to the south, Myanmar to the east, Bhutan to the west, and China and Tibet to the north. So it's a very remote area. And although the Khasi people of our sister parish are very poor, most of whom are really subsistence farmers, they eat what they grow. And a lot of them don't have any cash, they don't have money per se. But no one is destitute, no one goes hungry, no one's without food, and no one is homeless, which is really kind of amazing. And our sister parish, St. Francis Xavier, serves 28 villages, many of which are very, very remote. So it's really a tribal culture and a village culture. One of the things that struck me is everybody seemed really fit. There were no fat people. I didn't see one fat person. They were all really handsome and clean and beautifully dressed in bright colors. They usually dressed up for in their Sunday best when they met their American visitors. But I think they were fit because they walked everywhere. They had no cars. There was no junk food. They were eating the food that they produced. So of course they were fit. So It was amazing. They were really beautiful, beautiful people. And so maybe getting down to the core of the matter, how did we experience God in our sister parish, in these Khasi people? Pope Francis encourages us to encounter Christ in the poor. And I think all six of us on this trip did that. We really encountered Christ in the poor. And one of the things that really struck me, and I think struck all of us, is that despite all of our superficial differences, halfway around the world, speaking different languages, different skin colors, just having vastly different resources at our disposal, despite all those differences, we had so much in common. We first of all had our common humanity. We were all human beings. And you know, that does something you don't think about. But we were fellow human beings, where we shared our common humanity. And we shared our faith. We were all children of God. We were fellow Christians and fellow Catholics. And they also shared the Ignatian Jesuit tradition with us, which was wonderful. They really are a Jesuit parish. Of course, St. Francis Xavier is a Jesuit. Thomas More is not, so they're ahead of us on that. But they had all kinds of beautiful, Jesuit posters, etc. And we really experienced that they were truly brothers and sisters in Christ. So here they are, halfway around the world, as different could be, and yet they were truly brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was apparent and remarkable. And I know I really felt so at home there. We were there at one of their parish council meetings, and I just feel at home here. This is just so at home. And part of that was their hospitality and welcomingness. And there's just such beauty in the people. They're really, if you look at those pictures, they're really beautiful people. I found God in their sense of community and their connectedness. Their deep faith, they had 1,200 people at their Sunday Mass, and it was an overflow crowd. Their joy and their laughter, their hospitality and welcomingness. They were very humble. They were so pleased and honored by having these American guests come from halfway around the world to visit them. They could just tell they were so honored. And I know when I was at one place in a remote village and at the catechist house, and he was a subsistence farmer, and some of the members of his family said, "Well, Father, do you like it here?" You know, and he's like, "I love it here. I love it here." So they were so humble. They were also so generous to us, welcoming us into their homes and their villages, and really feeding us, which was wonderful. And when we first got there, our very first experience when we arrived from the airport to the parish and the school, there were two rows of school children dressed in school uniforms, singing a welcoming song for us in English, and then the six of us walked up the middle, and they gave us each a bouquet of flowers. So it was really, really very touching to have these two rows of school children in their uniforms singing a welcome song in English and then giving us those bouquets of flowers, which were really, really wonderful. So that was just great. And then they put on a little show for us and some skits and tried to show off a little bit for us, which was wonderful. I also thought and found that the people really lived in harmony with the earth, and as subsistent farmers, they had to. And one thing that got my attention, they're very generous to their church, my friends. When I got there, they're building a new church, which is about one-third built, and every parishioner, every family gives a certain number of rupees a day for the building of that church, and so far they've raised $130,000 to build that church, and it's not completed yet, but they're doing it themselves, and they really need it because they don't have enough room in their current church, and their current church building has got a dirt floor and a tin leaky roof, and plus, this is the kicker, the Presbyterians have a bigger new church. And that's the big competition's not with the Hindus or Muslims, it's with the Presbyterians. The English missionaries brought the Presbyterians there first, so they're not going to stand by having the Presbyterians have this big new church and them having this little dirt floor thing. That's not going to wash. But I think one way I also saw God in them is in their need, and that's something I think we really could help them with. We could help them build their church, and I think even some relative, as we do our capital campaign for our renovations, I think even a relatively modest donation from us to help them build their church could be very, very, very meaningful. And I also noticed in them there was a really eagerness to learn. There was schools all over the place, a lot of missionary schools from different religious orders. And you'd always, in the morning and in the afternoon, you'd see school children in their neat uniforms walking to and from school. No school buses, they were walking. So, you know, what can we learn from this? Well, first of all, I think just to encounter Christ in these people is just a good thing in and of itself, to experience them as God's children, as fellow human beings, and as brothers and sisters in Christ. That in and of itself is just a kind of a mind, heart, soul-expanding experience. But I think it also helps us put things in perspective. And we have a display in the back that I encourage you to take a look at that Mary Fratto and Barb Koenig put together. And you hopefully have seen some of the pictures on our website and e-news, etc. But one of some of the things to put in perspective is, you know, what's important and what's not so important? You know, some of the things we think are so important maybe aren't so important. What's essential? What do we truly need, and what not? What's enough, and what's too much? I think that's good for us Americans to think about. What does it mean to be poor, and what does it mean to be rich? Who is poor, them or us? Who is rich, them or us? And what's the meaning of development and progress? We do a lot of things in the name of progress, but really, what is true progress? I won't go off on that. But, you know, Pope Francis has a lot to say about that. But to really think about, what does true progress really mean? Authentic progress, sustainable progress. How can the goods of the earth be more, can be shared more equitably and sustainably around the world? And it also struck the importance of care for our common home, Mother Earth, because as subsistence farmers, they're really living on the edge and they're very vulnerable to climate change. And if things, you know, if things get tipped out of balance, they would be very vulnerable. So my question for us is, how can this encounter with Christ's poor and our sister parish, St. Francis Xavier, in northeast India, how can that influence our Lenten practices of prayer, almsgiving, and fasting? How can we best continue this relationship and get more people involved? I know there's some people here who are doing WhatsApp communication with folks there. We do a monthly Zoom call as a group, but more families could get involved in maybe partnering with one of the families there, and some of those have been really, really rich. And it was really cool when some of us came there and actually met the family they had been in touch with. And I really do believe that continuing this relationship with our sister parish, I would like to really have this be an annual pilgrimage from our parish. I think this relationship has a lot of potential to enrich us, to challenge us, to call us to conversion in, I think, many profound ways. So the more of us that can get involved, I think, would be really, really positive. And I want to make one last kind of obvious point. Obviously, we don't have to travel halfway around the world to encounter Christ and the poor. You know, we have poor here in St. Paul. We can encounter Christ in the Dorothy Day program. One Friday a month, we go and serve a meal. Our parishioners serve a meal at Dorothy Day Center for homeless people. We have our free store. If you volunteer there, you'll encounter some poor people. So there's a lot of ways in which we can encounter Christ in the poor. And I think when we do that, we're the ones that are truly enriched. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.